You know, Hebrews 2:10 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And during your lifetime, you'll spend, I trust, a great deal of time in church and meetings and places where you'll try to learn of the things of God. And so it's always good to take notes. And if you'll do that, week by week, you're going to have some tremendous resources for the future. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so if you'll take notes and pray over about what you've heard, you'll find a blessing. I have notes in my files that I heard when I was a freshman in college. From time to time, different things I will hear be a tremendous blessing to me. So I would encourage you to make a habit of that. One thing it does, it lets God know you're paying attention. Okay? Now tonight, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the eyes of the Lord. Search the OU campus looking for a person. In the days of Asa in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of him whose heart is perfect towards him. And as you study the scriptures, you find God has continued through history to search for a man. In Ezekiel 22:30, he said, I sought for a man among them who would make up the hedge and fill in the gap before me that I might not destroy the land, but I found none. So God is always looking for people that he can use and through whom he can show his mighty power. Now I will promise you that in this room tonight, there will be some people and in years to come whom God will use in a mighty way. Now, Psalms 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to every generation. And this generation, there will be those that will know what God wants and who will do what God wants because they are people that are responding to the Lord when the Lord is searching for a man. Now, God is looking for this kind of a man. He's looking for a man who is humble, who is contrite of spirit, and who trembles at his word. Isaiah 66:5 says, for all these things have my hand made, and all these things have been, said the Lord. But to this man I will look, to him that is humble and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Now, one of the things God wants are humble people. We know from the life of Jesus in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 9, says, who being in a, well, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death. So, Jesus Christ, if there's anyone that ever walked the earth that had plenty of room to be proud, it was Jesus. But Jesus, when he was God, he made himself of no reputation. Now watch out in life for trying to make a reputation for yourself. If God gets ready to exalt you, he knows exactly where you are. But what we ought to do in life is set out to be like Jesus. And he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient even to the point of death. Now that's the kind of people God is looking for. We have no room to be proud. You know, I heard a man say years ago that most of the people I know that are proud are really proud people have the least to be proud of. Now, God wants us to be humble, of a contrite spirit. That is, we have a broken heart over our own sin, a broken heart over what's going on. If you have any knowledge at all that's going on in your society, you have plenty of room to have a contrite spirit. Let me promise you one thing. America will not always stand as America is today. You go down through history, you read through the scriptures. If we continue the way we're going, the day will come in which the judgment of God will fall on this nation. Already, we're seeing things. You're seeing things in your day. And with the rampant homosexuality and the way we bend to those people and we bow to them, and not only do they want just you not go up and hit them in the mouth, but now they want special rights. Let me tell you, God called that perversion, regardless of what we call it across the street. God has some things to say, and judgment will fall on this nation. You cannot laugh at what God had to say and expect to stand very long. And that'll be true in your own life. And so God has some things He has to say to us. Now, God is looking for a man who will tremble at His Word. That is, when God says something, that's the way it is. Now, regardless of what people vote on or what the society says, when God has said something, you better count on it. That is exactly the way it is, and that's exactly the way it will be. You know, somebody says, well, I don't believe in hell. I like what Billy Sunday, the baseball player who turned evangelist, said. You won't be there 5 minutes till you'll believe in it. Now, regardless of what people are saying, what the Word of God declares is what we need to stake our life on. Jesus said, but He answered and said unto them, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. One of the things we need to be concerned about is finding out what the Word of God says, what it says about everything. Now, there are times when God does not speak to a specific situation, like, for example, dating. I don't know in the Bible where it specifically talks about that. But there are principles all throughout the Scriptures that will give you guidance in that area of your life. And whatever God says is what we need to know. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you begin to think in your heart, and that's why it's so important that you begin to get the Word of God into your life so you can think God's thoughts after Him. What does God have to say about certain things? You need to know that so you'll have the guidance that you need. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If while you're in college, you do not protect your heart, if you do not guide your thoughts, if you do not take the ideas and things that are coming to you and filter those through the Word of God so you know that what you're believing and what you're giving your life to is in line with the Word of God, then if that does not happen, you're headed for trouble. The Bible says, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Evaluate the ideas and things you're hearing in the light of God. Now, Baptists have fought a great battle over the last 20 years for the authority and inerrancy of the Scriptures. Some people say it was a political. It was simply political. Especially if you're from Texas, you may have heard that. But let me promise you one thing. It did not start as a political issue. It started as a theological issue. That is, what do we believe about the Bible? In John 17:17, here is what Jesus said about it. He says, I will sanctify you through the truth, and your word is truth. That's what John wrote. It is, this word is truth. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You can trust your Bible. You can know that when God speaks in an area, that you can trust that, that He knows what He's talking about. That is true. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 18 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's not just that this is something in a book of long ago, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. That means for teaching. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God has given you His Word such that you know what it teaches. When you begin to get off, it reproves you, it corrects you, it tells you how to live this life. And so you can follow and trust the Word of God. Jesus said on one occasion to a group of Pharisees, He says, you search the Scriptures, and then in them you think you have eternal life. And you will not come to Me that you might have life. He says, these Scriptures testify of Me. So all through the Scriptures, Jesus says they testify of Him. You don't have eternal life just as a result of the Word. You have eternal life through your faith in Jesus Christ, but the Bible gives testimony to who Jesus is. Now, I want to tell you some of the things the Word will do for you. It will keep you from sin and error. Psalms 119 verses 9 and 11 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man or a young person make his way clean or pure? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Now right now you're young. You have good minds. You turn your mind on to chemistry. You walk out of chemistry. An hour later you're in English. You're constantly turning your mind on and off. Now is the time to begin to build the Word of God in your life. If you will begin to do that, it will help you for the rest of your life. When I was in college, I began to memorize verses. Someone shared with me, if you could write them on cards, you could memorize them. So I decided I'll use time that other people waste. So in the morning, I'd have my quiet time, I'd write a verse on a card, and I'd memorize it. I played around with it for 2 or 3 years, and when I was a senior, I decided I'd get serious about it. And I decided I'd memorize a verse a day. I did that every day for 8 months. I memorized a verse a day and I could review 74 in time, I promise you, that you waste every day. Because I could do it walking to and from class. Now, somebody here got a second hand on your watch. Amy, do you have a second hand on your watch? You have a second hand. Okay. Now in a minute, I'm going to tell you to start, okay? And I want you to see where that second hand is. And then I'm going to tell you to stop and we're going to see how long it takes, okay? So you tell me when to start and I'll tell you when to stop, all right? Good. Is that fair enough? All right, you tell me when to start. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16. Stop. 10 seconds. Now I quoted you John 3:16, reference before and after. It took 10 seconds. Okay? And I didn't just zip through it. Now John 3:16 is a whole lot longer than Jesus wept and some other verses that you love to memorize. Okay? Do you know that you can review a verse you've well memorized in about 10 seconds? I was down in New Zealand. And this missionary handed me his verse pack. And he said, "Max, I'll quote you 50 verses. I'll be through in 10 minutes. Not only will I quote you 50 verses and be through in 10 minutes with a reference before and after, I'll give you a devotional on 2 of them." And he did. And you know, I thought, you know, the reason we don't memorize verses is not because we do not have time. You know what the big problem is? We do not have the heart. It's not a lack of time. It's a lack of heart. How many of you have looked at a video game today? How many of you played with your computer when it had nothing absolutely to do with your studies? And then you say, "I don't have time to memorize verses." Oh yeah, you do. You can memorize verses and you can begin to get these in your heart. And I could say this to you. If tonight you could walk up here and you know the very popular TV, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I promise you this, if you can walk up here and lay $1 million right here on this floor and say you can have that, if we just had the ability to blot out of your mind the verses you memorized when you were in college, if we could do that, if you had that ability and you could give me $1 million, I wouldn't touch it. Because those verses I memorized, many of which I've shared with you and will share with you tonight, I memorized in college. Now I've memorized some since. But most of the verses I'm sharing with you tonight, I'm memorizing at college. Those have served me well now for over 40 years. And I want to encourage you while you're in school. Now let me just give you something else that this is not what Mom and Dad told you when you left home, okay? We got a little secret. While you're in college, do not make your studies number one. Now I want you to hear me well. I didn't say your studies are not important. They're very important. And you need to be a good student. And by the way, you keep coming around here and you'll hear something about that. Because you'll get preached to on how to be a good student. But if you make your studies your number one priority, someday you'll graduate. You'll take that number one priority as far as your studying, and you'll transfer that to a job, and you'll make your job a number your number one priority. And guys, I'll just tell you, there's not a girl in this room who wants to be married to a guy whose number one priority is his job. Regardless, there may be days you study long and hard, but you always make God your number one priority. Now, I'm not saying that if, you know, you have to study 8 hours a day, that then you got to pray nine. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that prior in your thinking and prior in your mind is your relationship to God. And that's so important, because 100 years from now, it won't make a whole lot of difference what you majored in at the University of Oklahoma. I'm not saying what you major in is not important, but I am saying it is absolutely nothing compared to your relationship to God. And as Jerry Fine in his, and some of you will be, have the opportunity to do this in his book on One-on-One with God, he uses an illustration. And if we could just use this screen, and if I could just draw a line across that screen, and let's let that represent eternity. And then you take one little dot and put it on that line, and that's what your life is like. And you can let that line go on and go around the earth and come back through here again if you wanted to. Still, that's what your life is like. It's a fraction of a second compared to eternity. You know, some cold morning, this winter when it does get cold sometime in Oklahoma in the winter, you ought to walk out some morning, and when you walk into class and it's real cold, just go, just blow your breath on the air and stand there and watch it. See how long it takes for it to disappear. James says, James 4:14, that is what your life is like. It is even as a vapor that appears a little time and then vanishes away. Now, while you're here, build a foundation in your life that'll last you for the rest of your life and for all eternity. You know, very few people understand what heaven is like. We just think when we go, it's going to be nice and no more tears, and we get to see our uncle who died and loved Jesus. Yeah, that may be true, but you know, if you study what the Bible has to say about heaven, you are preparing now to reign with Jesus Christ throughout eternity, and the position you have in heaven is going to depend on what you do once you accept Jesus Christ and what you do with your life and how you live that life here and now. And the Word of God will keep you from error. Matthew 22:29, Jesus said, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." There's some of you, and I promise you, this year you will do things that are wrong, that will cause you problems in life, and you may not even have known it was wrong at the time. Jesus said of a group of people, "You do err, you do make mistakes, because you do not know the Word of God. You do not know what the Word of God says about that." Matthew 19:11, "Moreover by them," it's talking about the Scriptures, "as your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." God will warn you through His Word. In Isaiah 48:18, this is the verse I memorized in college, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever." And God just pleads, says, "Oh, if you would just keep my commandments, how well it would be with you and with your children forever." In Deuteronomy 5:29, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me, keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them forever." And so the Word of God will warn you. It will keep you from sin. It will help you. And it will help you to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes..." That's 1 Peter 2:2 instead of 22. I think we got a little error there. 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow there." Just like a baby desires milk to grow, then grow. And then 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You want to grow to know the Lord. And you know, when Paul was writing to a group of people, and he may never see him again, and he said in Acts 20:32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God in the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified." You want to grow? The Word of God is able to build you up. And when I'm talking about the Bible, I hope you learn to enjoy reading the Bible. You know, to some people, it's kind of like you know, shredded wheat. It's dry but nourishing, you know. Now, let me tell you, the Word of God can bring tremendous joy in your life. Jeremiah 15:16 is on the backside, number 4, if you're trying to stay up. He said, "Thy word was found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." When Jeremiah was talking about the Word of God, he said it was a joy of my heart. Psalms 119, verse 35, "Make me walk in thy commandments, for I delight in them." Let me ask you, do you delight in the Word of God? Do you know one way you can tell? What do you do when you have spare time? Nothing in the world indicates where your heart is like your spare time. For example, if a man loves to golf and he gets the day off, what does he do? He plays golf. You go in, you have 10 minutes before you're going to dinner that night. What do you do with it? Let me tell you, you can take a little bit of time and do a great deal with it. Let's, for example, let's suppose that you decided to go to the library over here every day for 15 minutes. Well, let's just say 10 minutes. You're going to actually spend 10 minutes reading about butterflies. Just butterflies. You just want to know about butterflies. Do you know that if you did that, you read about butterflies 10 minutes a day, at the end of a month, you know more about butterflies than anybody in this room? Do you know that? 10 minutes a day. Just get a book. You bring it over there. When you go to your room, you got 10 minutes before you go to dinner. You read about 10 minutes. At the end of a month, you know more than anybody in this room. You know, at the end of a year, you probably know more about butterflies than any freshman at the University of Oklahoma. That's right. You read 10 minutes about butterflies, when you graduate, you'll know more about butterflies than any student at the University of Oklahoma. You do that 10 years from now, you know more than any professor at the University of Oklahoma. Someday your kid comes and he decides to go read about butterflies, and it was written by that guy who read about butterflies 10 minutes a day. And a lot of times we're trying to think about, well, I don't have time. You know, I got all this studying, and I got to work, and I got to sleep, and I got classes, and I got this, and I got that. What do you do with your minutes? Your life is like a bucket, and it's leaking by minutes. And if you would just take minutes, a few minutes a day, and begin to learn to use those minutes, I think you'll find God will do some great things in your life. Psalms 119:127, "Therefore I love thy commandments." I love your commandments above gold. Yes, much fine gold. And the psalmist said, "I think more of God's word than gold." I mean, even really pure fine gold. How much do you think of the word of God? Have you ever gone in, and maybe you got an hour between class, and you just go in and you've got 1 hour, and you could just sit and read your Bible for an hour? Have you ever read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians at one sitting? If you haven't, you've missed a blessing. And you begin to read. And you don't just read to see how fast you can read, but you think about it. You ponder it. If someone says you ponder it, you picture it. You try to put yourself in that situation. And then you pray about it. The Word will give you guidance. Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119, 130, "The entrance of Thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Proverbs 22, 20 and 21, "Have not I written to you excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that I might make you know the certainty of these words of truth, that you might speak the word of truth to those that come to you." You can know what God wants you to do with your life. I remember one time when I was in college, I was really praying about what God wanted me to do. And I began to have real uneasiness about the major I'd chosen. Chemistry helped me to decide that. Physics helped me to decide that. That maybe I wasn't in the right major. So one morning, I was having my quiet time before class, and I said, "Oh God, if you'll just tell me what to do, I'll do it. And that morning I came across Psalms 32:8. And it says, I will instruct you and teach you in a way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. And man, I can remember getting so excited. I thought, man, this is a promise for me. God promised He would guide me. And I remember walking out and I headed to class and I thought, now what are you going to do? I didn't know any more than I did before. But I knew one thing for sure. God would guide me. Now let me just tell you how God can give you practical guidance. When I was a senior in college, I was home for Christmas. And one night, I don't know why, I was just spending some time reading the Word, and I was in the kitchen, and I felt especially that night to pray regarding a wife. Now, I'd been at Texas A&M when it was all men, and I remember one day we were going to class, and a girl drove through the campus, and one of the guys says, there goes a girl. I mean, it's just like a... just like he'd seen a pink elephant or something, but... there weren't all that many around, and when I was there, I didn't have a car and didn't have money to be running away on weekends. In fact is, let me back up just a moment. When I was a freshman, one Saturday night, I started walking over to a nearby theater because I just grew up in high school, and that's what I did on Saturday night. And I started walking over to that theater to go to the movie. As I did, I began to think, you know, it's been a busy week. I've had almost no time to read the Bible. And I remember standing there in a tree and out under a tree, and right across the way I could see that theater and I could see the marquee and I could see it was a movie I would really have enjoyed seeing. It was a Saturday night, but I thought, you know, God, that's not what I need tonight. And I'm going to have to make some choices if I'm ever to be the man you want me to be. And you know what I'm going to do? I think I need to go back to my room. Most of the guys in the dorm are gone, as they went every weekend. They'd run to Merrhart and Baylor, Houston, all over dating. And I need to spend some time with you. Now, that was hard for me, but I can remember standing on that tree, and I'd walk towards the theater a while, and I thought, no, that's not what I need to do. And I went back to my room and got my Bible and spent time with Him. And you know, I don't remember what was showing that night. If I'd have seen it, I wouldn't remember what was showing by now. But I'll never forget that night. And I'll never forget the impression that came into my heart as God began to say, if you'll spend time with me, I will guide your life. And so I began to do that. So I'm home now as a senior. I'm up that night in the kitchen. I'm reading my Bible. And Mom comes in and she says, son, you need to go to bed. You look bad. Well, I've never looked any way but bad my whole life. And she said, you're so thin and you need some rest. And so, being the obedient child, I went to bed. And Mom and Dad went to sleep. And I wasn't trying to be obedient, but I really felt like that night I really needed time with God more than I needed to go to bed. So, after a while they were asleep, so I get up, my ease in the kitchen, I turn on the light, and I'm spending some time at night. And I don't know why, but just that night, particularly, I felt led to pray for a wife. And so I'm reading and praying, and all of a sudden I come across Proverbs 18:22. And it says, now this is not in your notes. If you want that verse, you can jot it down. Proverbs 18:22. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Now I was reading the King James, and that was a lot of these new translations weren't out right after the flood, but so I'm reading that. And I'm praying. And it says a wife is a good thing. And so immediately a verse comes to my mind. I'd memorized Psalms 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. I thought, well, there's that good thing again. And then another verse I'd memorized came to mind. Psalms 32:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. Now, I'm not saying God will ever speak to anybody else through those verses in the same way He did me. But I still have those notes that night I wrote down. God, You said a wife is a good thing. And you said, if I would seek you, and you said, if I would walk uprightly, then I would have a good thing. And so, Lord, in due time, in your timing, I'm claiming a wife from you. And Lord, I can hardly wait till I meet her. I don't know where she is, but God, work in her life. If she's going to live with me, she needs lots of help. And Psalms, I wrote down that night, I can hardly wait because in our wedding, I want to share a verse. I want us to share a verse together. Psalms 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." And we shared that in our wedding, and that has been our verse. That's been our desire, is to glorify the Lord together. Now, God wants to do amazing things for you. I can stand here and tell you what God has done in my life. If He's done it in my life, He can do it in absolutely anyone's life if you'll let Him. And God will give you guidance. Now, I want to hasten because I know it's getting late. The Word will help you to witness. Some of you out here are Christians. But I'll never forget when I was in school and I got to know one of the guys who was a quarterback at Texas A&M. He was an All-Southwest Conference quarterback as a sophomore. One time I invited him to go witnessing with me. And so we go over and we knock on this freshman's door. He came to the door. This fellow was a big blonde-headed guy. And we began to talk to this freshman about the Lord. The guy's face turned red. It was obvious he was embarrassed. The guy had taken with me. We go back across the campus that night and he says, "You know, Max, I have never been so scared as I am tonight." He said, "When I'm out on the football field, I'll run into anything that moves." And believe me, he would. But he said, "I've never been so scared as I am tonight." And I thought, isn't that amazing? I mean, here's this big guy, but when it comes to mentioning the name of Jesus, he's all embarrassed and all afraid. Now, some of you are exactly at that point in your life. You're Christian. I could prove it to you if I said, "Hey, there's a student over on the campus. I just came from talking to him. They're sitting over in the union. They're by themselves. They're your age. And I want one of you to go over and witness to him. The rest of us will stay here and pray for you." Now, which group would you rather be in? You'd rather stay and pray? Or would you like to be the one to go witness? Well, most of you would rather stay and pray, and it's not because you like to pray all that much. Right? It's because of fear. You know, Jeremiah experienced that. He was being persecuted because when he spoke, I mean, things really came down on him. And so he decided one day he'd quit. He didn't like to be persecuted. He didn't like people laughing at him. So he decided he'd quit witnessing. But then in Jeremiah 20 verse 9, he says, "But His word was in my heart like a burning fire in my bones, and I could not keep from speaking." You know, Matthew 12:34? Let me tell you another story. When I was a senior, I had the opportunity to go visit a lot of campuses leading witnessing clinics because of what God had done at Texas A&M. And we'd go in and we'd try to help people. And I came back that summer and I decided that summer I would spend 6 nights a week reading the Bible. Now, that meant one night for church, and I'm not saying that's what you all... And it wasn't that I never varied from that, but unless I had another plan, I was working out in the field, I would come in, I'd take a bath, I would eat, Mom and Dad would turn on the TV, I'd go to my room, and I could still hear it through the walls, but I would pray and spend time in the Word. And I began to ask God, "God, why is it that people that say they're Christians, many of you have been to Falls Creek, and you've accepted the Lord, and you've stood in your church and told what God has done in your life, and yet you've been on the campus for a week, people do not know what Jesus means to you?" And I came back that summer and I thought, "God, why is it? Why is it that we do not witness?" And I said, "I want some answers. And I'm going to read the Bible if it takes all summer, and I want you to speak to me." And I was reading, and one day I was in the book of Acts, in Acts 5, and they brought these people in, and they began to go out and witness, and they brought them before the authorities and said, "Don't you ever speak again in the name of Jesus." and let them go. What'd they do? They went everywhere speaking. And they brought them back again. And they said, did not we straitly command you that you should not speak in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with his doctrine. So this time, they beat them. And I mean when they beat them, folks, they beat them. And they let them go. In Acts 5, 41 and 42, says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I mean, you couldn't keep them from witnessing. Beat them, turn them loose, here they go, witness. Bring back, didn't we tell you? Well, in prison with you. Well, let's witness to the jailer. You know? I mean, wherever they are, bring them before the authorities. And that's what they did. They brought them before the authorities. And they said, now you say we shouldn't speak, but we all obey God rather than man. So here they are. They preach to the people who've got them on trial for preaching. And I thought, God, why is that? And I'm reading, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know that it's interesting in being around someone that's in love. I remember when I first came here as a fellow and girl in love, you couldn't be around her 10 minutes but what she is telling you about her boyfriend. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart's going to come. What's in the well of your heart will come up in a bucket of your mouth. And so if you want to be able to share and share graciously with people, then fill your heart with the Word of God and knowing Jesus Christ. And I want to close with this. Number two, who has a heart for God? God is looking for people who have a heart for Him. Acts 13:22, when after God had removed Saul, and He says He raised up unto them David to be their king, whom He also testified and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. And you know, in the Psalms you see such a tremendous hunger for God. See, one of the things we see lacking in many, many Christians are some people kind of have a hunger to find out something in life and they become a Christian, and then over a period of time the hunger leaves. You know, in Psalm 42:1-2, it says, as a deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? In Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee as in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And the psalmist said in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. Now let me tell you, some of you have no hunger for God. You go in tonight, one of the worst things you can think about is being locked in your Bible, in the room with just your Bible for an hour. I mean, that would drive you absolutely up the wall. You've got to have on Christian music. You've got to have on the TV. You've got to do something. Maybe you don't have much of hunger for God, but what do? Feed what little hunger you have. You know you ought to read the Bible. Well, then do it. I know a man that had no hunger for God, and that concerned him. He didn't want to read the Bible. He didn't want to pray. He knew that wasn't right, so he began to pray. And he prayed, oh God, give me a hunger for you. He prayed that every day for 3 years. I know a man that went on a trip with him. He said, We're traveling overseas, speaking to missionaries and different people. He said, we were in the same hotel room. And he said, I'd wake up in the morning about 5 o'clock, and there's that guy over reading the Bible like he had never seen it before. You begin to feed what little hunger you have. Tomorrow, tonight, before you go to bed, you read a little bit of the Word. Tomorrow you do that. You find one of these verses tonight. You begin to put it on a little card or something, and you go over and over it and over it. And the day you memorize it, once you got it word perfectly, say it another 35 times. It'll take you 7 minutes. Okay? Another 35 times or so. And then you review it the next day, and you review it every day for about 2 months, and after that once a month, and you can have it for the rest of your life. And you never know when God will take that verse and use it in your life or someone else's. Jesus is walking along after His resurrection. He's on the road to Emmaus. And a couple of guys are walking along and Jesus joins them. And they're talking about the great things that happened in Jerusalem. And so Jesus displays kind of dumb. He said, "What things?" And they said, "Oh, you hadn't heard what happened in Jerusalem about Jesus being crucified and the resurrection?" And it says, as he walked along, he expounded unto them, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He began with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then all of the prophets. And he's walking along a few miles, he's talking to these guys, and out of the scriptures, he doesn't have his Bible open. He doesn't have the Genesis scroll. He doesn't have the Exodus scroll. He's walking along, and out of his heart, he's sharing with these guys just about himself. And then, later, you remember they invited him to come stay with him. Their eyes were open. They saw who he was, and he disappeared. And in verse 32, one turned to the other and said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Now let me tell you, God is looking around the University of Oklahoma. He wants to find people who will tremble at his word. And what that means is basically you have a reverence for it. You come to love it. You come to read it. You come to try to apply it to your life. And people who have a heart to know God. Now, it's not a matter of your earning your way with God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, and I would say this for some of you here tonight, certainly there are people right here tonight, if I were to ask you the question, if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? And some of you say, "Well, I hope so." Well, let me tell you, this is not something to hope about. 1 John 5:13 says, "I have written these things to you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life." And I know when I first got to college, I didn't know if I was a Christian. So one night I prayed and I said, "God, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. I mean, I joined a church, I've been baptized, but I don't know if you've ever really come into my heart. And if you have, thank you, but I want to be sure. If you haven't, tonight I want to give my life to you." And I would encourage you to do that. And then you begin to get to know Him. I did that the next day. I didn't know if I was a Christian or not. But over a period of time, as I began to read the Word, the doubts left. And I know I would be with the Lord, not because of what I've done, but because of what He did for me. And my trust is in Him. Now let me say this to you tonight. If you do not have a Bible with you, if you will come up here tonight, I would be delighted. We have some Bibles. We'd be delighted to give you a Bible. So we don't want anyone to be at the University of Oklahoma. As someone said, to know books without knowing the book is the chiefest ignorance. And while you're here, major on your relationship to God. I would encourage you, if you're a freshman, be here on Monday night. You will build relationships. You will get help. You put Vespers in your schedule just like you would a class. I decided my senior year in college, I would never miss a Vesper. I would never miss Sunday school. I would never miss church. I did not miss one single time. I averaged taking 20 hours, had a lab 4 afternoons a week, memorized a verse a day, and reviewed 74 in time that other people wasted. Make yourself available. When you get out of here, right now is the time to divorce-proof your marriage. You begin to pray. You seek God. You let God lead you eventually as to who you're to marry. And right now, probably the worst place most of you can be is in love. You need to get down to business, get to know God, and in due time, God will lead you. Now let me just say this. God doesn't like to take a 10-horsepower girl and hook her up to a 2-horsepower guy spiritually. Guys, if you want a godly girl, you become a godly man. Girls, you want a godly man, you become a godly girl. And in due time, God will bring that person into your life. But right now, you major on your walk with Him. Have I said you should never date? I didn't say that. I'm saying, be sure you're walking with God and you get the depth and quality in your life now.
Now's the time to do it while you're young. Okay, let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these and the time they've given tonight. I know they'll go to class tomorrow and they'll be with some students who maybe stayed in the dorm and studied tonight and they didn't have time to give to you. But Lord, I also know that if they continue to do that, and there are people who really love your word and learn to love you and trust you, by the time they graduate, there'll be a phenomenal difference in their life. And you'll lead them and you'll bless them. And all through their life, God, they'll see your hand at work. And Father, not only just for us, but there's a world out there that desperately needs to know you. And where we're laymen, homemakers, in the full-time ministry, whatever we are, we're to give our life to walking with you and telling the good news of Jesus to others and seeing them come to know you and build them up in the faith so they can share the message. And Father, even tonight as we're here, we want to remember Elliot Anderson, who left from here a short time ago and is now in China. Lord, we want to remember Rachel and John and Jamie as they labor among college students in Cambodia. We want to remember Bill Johnson in Africa and others who've gone from here, and in their walk in life, they're sharing the good news. Father, bless these students tonight. I pray that we can come to know each other and you'll band us together as a group of students that'll bring great honor and glory to you. Now, Father, help us to know when to have fun, but don't let us major on it. Let us major on that which will last for eternity, because we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.